I was talking to some people recently, and I said this. When we took the cross out of everything in America, you know what I mean by that. You know, it's illegal now to have a cross on public property, and you know, most churches have done away with the crosses and all this kind of thing. Something began, and our school systems, when we took prayer out, something began to happen there. And they've deteriorated down to philosophy and things of that type. And most of your children are now being inundated, fed philosophy and all this junk. Come on. And many parents don't realize that this is going on, because most of the teachers are have a very liberal agenda. And again, we're not talking about Democrats and those kind of situations. We're talking about a spirit of liberalism which does away with authority. Come on. And so nowadays what we do is we look at children that are what used to be a child that just needed a spanking. We look at them now as a sick child that needs to be on medication. And so many of our children go to school and are drugged for most of the day and have no idea really what's going on. They're just in la-la land. And, of course, from there you go to cocaine, or you go to, you know, because you want to have that feeling. They get used to being high. Come on. And so this is a time where I think we need to re-look at some things, because there's a lot of opportunity out here to reach out and change, because this nation is in trouble. Amen. 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 Now, many of the economic men and women are saying that there's a major crash coming. Yes. If that be so, and there is a major crash, you better have money in something. And the only thing I've known over all these years that's never crashed is the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
And I can remember when we lived in Tulsa one time, when the oil bust happened down there, and oil became dirt cheap, people were standing in front of banks knocking on the door trying to get their savings. But the banks had already closed overnight because of the crash of the oil fields, and they couldn't get their money. Now, we can say, well, that was an isolated time. I don't think so. I think it was the beginning of things that are coming, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but there's some tough times coming. And I've said last year, or last time I was here, I'm sure, and I'll say it again next time I come, I believe God taught us faith to live in the last days.
Amen.
Because I think you'll need faith if you're going to accomplish anything in these last days.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Now, I've been doing a lot of study about the resurrection. Paul said that I may know him. And the
power.
Yeah, say it again.
Power
of his resurrection. And I've been examining things in my own heart, because one of the desires that I and my wife have is to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, I'm going to be very bold today and say some things I believe you're strong enough to handle. I've been saying to the Lord, Lord, why am I not seeing the manifestations that I used to see? And I, of course, the first thing I said to the Lord was, is it me?
Amen.
Come on, because I think first you better examine yourself.
Amen.
And see where you're at.
Right.
Because I've got a dear pastor friend right now that if he doesn't get a miracle, I'll be going to a funeral before long. He needs a miracle.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Wayne needs a miracle.
Amen.
Many of you need a major miracle in your lives. And I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, what's going on? Now, I'm convinced and have no problem realizing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm never questioning God. I'm always questioning, it's got to be on our side. It's got to be out here somewhere, because God changes not. And if God healed the sick back in the healing revival, he can heal the sick today. If God can make tumors fall off, you know, he can do it today. If God can split a Red Sea, he can still do that today. If God can create a universe, he can still, if that was his will, do that today. And then we got a generation of young people that are saying, okay, you guys have been talking all this stuff. Where is it? And why isn't it manifesting? So I begin to examine the Word of God, and my first question is, what gospel is being preached? See, there's all kinds of gospels being preached out here, but is the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached, that on the third day he rose from the dead? Otherwise, resurrection power. If Christ be not risen, we of all people are stupid, ignorant, and have no hope. Come on. If he's dead in a tomb somewhere, honey, you are too. And so am I. But I'm convinced by faith, not seeing it, but by faith, I'm convinced he's risen from the dead, because the Word of God plainly says he's risen and he sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
So I think all's well in heaven.
Amen.
The problem's got to be down in here. Okay? Now, let's just look at some things for a moment. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Now, what is always connected to tombs? Death. Amen? So these women saw Jesus crucified, yet on the first day of the week, wasn't the disciples. It was these women, a prostitute that had all kinds of demons. See, that helps me, because that means God uses ordinary people.
Amen.
And even subordinary people. Come on. So that means every one of us can be used to the Lord. Does he use this hierarchy? But they came to see the tomb. Moreover, there was a great earthquake. Everybody say an earthquake.
Earthquake.
Now, let's just digress for a moment. Jesus at Calvary, by his stripes, come on, by his stripes, amen, he took on all of our sicknesses. He didn't take our sicknesses on the cross. He took them by stripes. They were literally beat into his body.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus took on the sin of, come on, that's right, all mankind, right? How much sin? I'm sorry, I didn't mean sin, I meant sickness. How much sickness?
All.
Right? So he's already bore every sickness that's trying to come on you.
Amen.
Yet he's victorious over it.
Amen.
Okay. Now, I don't know how many people have been on the earth since then. or before then, but he covered before and after. The Old Testament looked towards the cross. The New Testament people looked to the cross. By his stripes we are
healed.
Okay, how are we healed?
By his stripes.
Now, stay with me. I'm going to say something that might confuse you, but don't be confused. I am healed by my faith, but I'm also healed by my faith in his stripes.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Because it's the stripes that healed me.
That's right.
That's when he took my sickness.
Yes, yes.
So today, by faith, I believe he was not only crucified, but he was scourged.
Yes.
And by those stripes, we gained
healing.
Yes. And I believe that it's possible for you and I to walk in total divine health. Now, I've got a sore foot on my left foot. I don't mind telling you, it hurts like fire. But I made up my mind that Jesus took my sore foot. And if he's got it, why do I have it? And if I can cast my care upon him, for he cares for me.
Yes.
See, if we didn't have a good God, then we could receive sickness a lot easier because it'd just be God being mean to us. But we have a good God.
Amen.
Who loves us so much, come on, that he allowed his son to take on stripes so that today, Mark, you could be healed. Well, let me rephrase that. Today, Mark, you are healed. But if I go by what I feel, come on.
Amen.
Say, if I'm moved by my feelings, then I have to, now watch, then I have to say, I'm sick. And the minute I say I'm sick, I've opened the door for all hell to break loose in my life. But the tendency is to say I'm sick because we're used to that. Marybelle's been getting on to me lately because of my own mouth. I've had some situations that I've been believing God for, and I get up in the night and say I'm sick. So what did I have during the night? Sickness. How did I get it? By my own confession. How was it maintained? By my own confession. How was it fed? By my own confession. Hello?
Amen.
But if I would have got up and said, by his stripes I am healed, then I'm in a different realm. Praise God. I said, praise God. For behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, when something as momentous as the Son of God raising from the dead, even creation trembles. Now think of this. The veil in the temple was rent or ripped from top to bottom. Not mankind bottom to top, but God himself saying, that phase is finished. Now, if that's true, then I can go into the very throne of God without going to a priest. But when the veil was there, I had to go let the priest represent me because I couldn't even go in it. Come on.
Amen. Amen.
But God says, let me show you this. Rip. Now the veil was about that thick. No man could have ever tore it. But Jesus, there was so much generation of power that even graves opened up.
Amen. Amen.
And people were resurrected out of the graves. And Paul says, I want to know that kind of power.
Amen.
And Bob Lemon says today, I want to know that kind of power. See, Keith, I'm tired of talking this stuff. I want manifestation.
Yes, that's
right. And I think the whole body is crying out for that. I think all creation is crying out for the sons of God to get over into position where they actually walk in power. Not just talk. Hallelujah. You see, oh Lord Jesus, help us. When there's resurrection power, one of the greatest places to be around it is a graveyard. Because it's not a place of death anymore, it's a place of resurrection. Hallelujah. I like that. Excuse me. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. And I get this picture of this angel sitting there like this. I really do. I get this picture of, what's the big deal? You think that stone's going to stop the Savior? You think a Roman seal? See, when they came to Jesus in the garden, they said, who are you? He said, I am. Now, as far as I can study, Rick Renner says there were between 300 and 600 soldiers that came to the garden to arrest Jesus. I got a sermon. How many soldiers does it take to arrest one man? When he's the Christ.
That's right.
Not even 600 are strong enough to do it. And these were not drunken, stupid soldiers. These were the best. With the best weapons. And he said, who are you? And he said, I am. Can you imagine them guys all laying on the ground saying, what in the world happened? But here we are on Resurrection Day, and there's an earthquake, praise God.
Yes.
And things are shaking.
Yes.
And I'm convinced the earthquake is shaking today with resurrection power. Things are about to break loose. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook in fear. Now here we got the Roman guards. You know the guards that took care of the tomb? They were not drunken, stupid Roman soldiers. They were the best. Why? Because they were convinced they were going to come and steal the body of Jesus. So we got the best men there. But when this angel shows up, what are they? They're like dead men. Everybody say power. The guards shook in fear because of him and became like dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. What is he? What is he? What is he? How many of you believe he's risen? He's not here, he's risen. Now watch this. This is what I love about Jesus. Come see.
Amen.
Not in secret. That angel said, come see. See, it wasn't a religious, holy, candle-lit thing that we like to make hard. Resurrection life was, come see. Come look. Come look at a tomb that's empty. I was in Israel last year with Doc, and we went to where they think could have been where Jesus was in a tomb. I mean, there's hundreds of tombs around Jerusalem, thousands probably. And so this is a nice one. And because you never know which one it is. But I went in and looked anyway. And he's not there. Now, either they stole the body, or he had something better to do. And that's to ascend up on high. Now watch this. To make a seat for you. No, you didn't get that. To make a seat for you, because we're seated in the heavenlies, and if Christ didn't get there before you, you would never get there. Because he's a holy God. And he was making a seat in heavenly places for you and I to live a victorious life on this earth. Hallelujah. Man, why? He's not here, he's risen. Amen. Come see the place where the Lord laid and go quickly. Oh, now get that. See, religion says, come see the place where the Lord has risen. We'll make a memorial out of it. You know what the angel said? Come take a look, then go.
That's right.
Why? Because there's nothing here.
No.
It's all out here now. Hallelujah. So go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead, and indeed he's going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. You know where the disciples were? Locked up in a room. Tough guys. There's the women down there. Where's the disciples? They're all afraid because of the Jews and the Romans. Thank God for you ladies.
Amen.
Now, I'm serious. Church would have folded a long time ago if it wasn't for ladies. I remember when I got saved, I was the first guy to get saved in several years in that church.
Wow.
And you would have thought Jesus came. Not because I had anything. I was just happened to be a man.
That's right.
And the women been running that church so long. They were on the board. They were on this. They were that committee, that committee. And there was a handful of guys, you know, been there and didn't do anything. And that pastor, bless his heart, I didn't know what he was doing, discipled me. I farmed back there. Every day at noon, he'd call me up, and for the whole noon hour, we'd talk about the Bible.
Wow.
Every day.
Praise
and then at night, he'd come over and spend a couple hours with me every so often, and we'd talk about the Bible.
Wow.
We didn't look at the ball game. We talked about the Bible. And in 2 weeks, I was in my first teaching session.
Wow.
I taught Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, because that's all I knew.
That's enough.
And that's all you got to know. Come on. It's the theologians that's got it all screwed up. Because you got to have 32 points. Sorry, teacher. He's risen. Come and see.
Amen.
Of course, there was some fear involved. Who's ever seen anything like this? Last time they saw Jesus, he looked like a hamburger. Isaiah said his body was destroyed.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, there's angels. And all of a sudden, stones are rolled back with a Roman seal that's been broken and Roman soldiers laying on the ground shaking like a leaf. And the angels sitting there like this. What's the deal? What's too hard for God? Could it be that we still got some unbelief?
Yes. Help us, Jesus.
Because I'm convinced, Wayne, if we ever believe this stuff,
right,
we can do it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. That's
right. Mark Barclay is a great friend of mine. He's been nothing but a blessing to my wife and I. And when we're together, we have a blast. We laughed last night too. But I mentioned a project. I'm not going to say what it is right now because I'm not ready to blab it. But it would probably cost about $25,000. So I put it out there and he said, well, let's do it. No, I don't have $25,000. And he don't have $25,000. But he has faith. And his faith immediately says, so what's the problem? $25,000, God can sneeze that out in one night. No, my point is very simple. I'm not trying to build up. My point is, that's the kind of faith you've got to have. Like I told you the other night, he gave me $6,000 recently, but he said, I want you to believe God for my $130,000.
Yes.
Well, last night he had his airplane.
Yep.
Wow. So the bill's paid.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise. Come on, y'all.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Resurrection power.
Thank you, Lord.
Phil, the other night when I preached, got a revelation on believe. Everybody say the word believe.
Believe.
All of us believe something.
That's right.
Come on. Isn't that true? I can feel my foot. So I not only have feeling, but I believe it hurts.
That's right.
Bad confession, but I'm trying to prove something. Okay? All of us believe something.
Yeah, that's true.
You go to the lawyer and give him $250 for a half hour, and you believe what he said because it cost you.
Yes.
Wow.
But the book gives you all this stuff with no price.
That's right.
Except what Jesus did at Calvary.
That's right.
So the highest price ever paid has been paid in full.
That's right.
And all things are possible,
yes,
to them that
believe.
Hallelujah.
How many get that? See, if you believe it, you can have it. If you don't believe it, it'll never manifest. Glory to God.
Amen.
I want to digress just for a moment. I've been talking to these guys on the phone about every other week or every week. And I guess every week. And they've got new life.
Amen.
There's something new, different about them. When I got off the plane and we went to the Chinese joint to eat, P.F. Chang's, I saw right away, there's something different about them. You know what it is? They believe.
Amen.
You're going to have to hook up with this freshness that's in this house. Because it's on the way.
Amen.
But I can tell you what can stop it is unbelief. Start speaking resurrection power into this place.
Yes.
Starting with you.
Amen.
Well, Doc, this is the way I am. Well, get saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I heard that remark, Mrs. Lemon. I wish Doc was here. Verse 9. And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Saying,
rejoice.
What?
Rejoice.
What's there to rejoice about? Because he's the risen
Amen.
Savior
Amen.
Of all mankind. Jesus didn't say, oh, it was so hard. Man, that cross like to do me in. Oh, it was terrible. No, rejoice. Why? Because it's a new day. This is the day the veil's been rent. This is the day the old has passed away and the new is here. So they held him by the feet and worshiped him. And Jesus, now notice this, do not be afraid. Huh. Could it be possible that some of us may believe but are full of fear? Because here in 9 verses, fear is mentioned 3 times. Don't be afraid. I've had people say, you know, I love the supernatural, the movement of the supernatural, but I'm afraid. Now watch this. See, I understand that because you get out into the spirit, because we don't live out here, it feels very uncomfortable to the flesh. Am I speaking Chinese or?
No.
Okay.
Good preaching.
No, you see, because it gets out, you get out into the spirit and you think, man, I don't know. Boy, this is something out here. Why? Because, now watch this. Because you're no longer in control. See, and the minute you and I lose control, fear comes. Because we're so used to controlling everything around us. You get out into the Spirit, then it's Christ and His glory. See? So maybe we have to deal with our not only unbelief, but maybe we have to deal with our own fear. Because Larry Huggins, some of you know who that is, he's a prophet of God. Larry told me, he said, Doc, you're going to get so deep in the spirit, you have to make a choice to come back. But I understand what he's talking about. Because once you get out there, it's just easy to go the other way. See, we don't talk much about this kind of stuff, but I'll tell you, there's an atmosphere out here that we can get into that's so incredibly wonderful, but it's scary to the natural mind.
Come on.
Makes you want to grab the chair and say, "Man, I want something I can grab onto." But you see, that's a matter of self-preservation.
Yeah.
It's when we don't care about our own lives any longer. Come on, when you don't care about your own life, because the only thing I could ever do is go to heaven, which is not a bad option. It's an upgrade, yeah. That's first class. I'll tell them that on the plane tomorrow. Except that plane ain't flying here so little, there is no first class. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. See. Christ didn't hide after resurrection. Christ said, "Here I am." Forgetting those things that lie behind. Here I am.
Amen.
Now, just to tell you what happens. They bribe the soldiers. Religion will always manipulate with a little bit of truth and a whole bunch of error to make you believe. Now watch. Verse 16. Then the 11 went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Can I try that again? They worshiped him, but some doubted. Thomas said, "Unless I can stick my finger in the holes, I won't believe." Thomas is not a faith giant. But here's the sweetness and the power of a loving God. He shows himself to this man. Boy, I love that.
Yeah.
He shows himself to the man and says, "Go ahead and stick your finger in there." What kind of a God would do that? A loving God. Understand, Thomas. You've never seen this before. See, we live under sometimes so much condemnation because of our lack of faith or our fears that we don't get anything from God because we're not in faith, thinking that God's angry with us. God is not angry with you. If he can go to a Thomas, he can go to you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love that, friends. I'm telling you, that blesses my heart.
Yes, sir.
A mean, ugly God would have done something totally different. He would have said, "You unbelieving turkey, get out. You're not one of us." But the church does that all the time.
Yep.
But some doubted. Everybody say, "Some doubted."
Some doubted.
Now look at the next verse. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." If Jesus was a pastor, he had a church with believers and doubters. Give him a point?
Yeah.
We know right there in those verses that some believed but others doubted.
Yeah.
But you know what he says to the whole crowd?
Right.
Yeah. See, I like this. He says, "All authority All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations.
Amen.
Now, let me help you with that. Growing disciples to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen? That's good. I love that. Why? Because we're quitting growing up Christianettes.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on.
Come on. We're making disciples.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Not to build just a local church, but to see the nations. Why? Because God is a king, a kingdom God.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
He has a kingdom.
Amen.
Yes.
That's beyond Russia, China, U.S., any country you can name. God so loved the and his expression is to build locally to reach the
world.
Hallelujah.
With disciples, not crabby church people. Praise the Lord. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And we're at the end of the age.
That's right.
And guess who's with us?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This okay today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul is declaring to Christians the gospel? Why? He wants us to get what the gospel really is, which I received in and in which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast to that word which I have preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How did he do it? According. Now you say, now, Doc, we know all this stuff. Oh, yeah? Well, you're going to know it some more. According to the Scriptures. So what's the first thing Christ did? Died for our sins. How many sins? My Bible's got an S on it. Not one sin. For all of our sins. Christ, turn to your neighbor and say, Christ died for all my sins. Amen. Especially how you treat me, Mary Bill. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. Now, I believe, and Wayne can change if he doesn't believe this way, but I believe that Christ went to hell. The reason I believe that is because if he was my substitute, he would have to do exactly what I would have had to do.
Right.
So Christ went to hell, spent 3 days as Noah was in the belly of the whale, Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so was Christ in the belly of the earth. Okay? Now we know, because of the stories in the Bible, that when Lazarus and the rich man died, remember Lazarus was a beggar and the rich man was a rich man. The beggar was carried off by angels,
yes,
and Lazarus went to hell.
That's right.
That's what the scriptures say.
That's right.
Then, watch this. The guy in hell says, send somebody over here, Lazarus first, dip his finger in water and touch my tongue.
Yeah.
So nobody's having a party in hell. I don't care what anybody says, that's not what the word says. It's so much torment that he would have been satisfied if somebody would have dipped in water and put that on his tongue. Then he says, of course we have to say too late. Then he says, well, I've got brothers and you know, send Lazarus, because if somebody came from here, they'd believe. God said, no, no, they had plenty of time, chances.
Right. That's right.
Why? Because God keeps accurate records.
Amen.
Everybody that goes to hell will hear when they rejected Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because God's fair. He doesn't send anybody to hell just because he's.
Yes. Right.
Can. You still with me? Now, here's the big thing. Evidently, under the old covenant, Abraham's bosom, you could see it and talk to people from hell.
Yeah.
So you could see what you missed the rest of eternity.
Wow.
Talk about torment.
That's right.
Now, Brother Lemon, this is kind of scary. Oh, we're not scared enough.
That's right.
Come on.
This is pretty bad.
Come on.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Sure, I'm teaching good.
Amen.
I think. So he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now let me ask you this. How did Jesus die? According to the scriptures. How did Jesus go to hell? According to the scriptures. How did Jesus rise again? According to the scriptures. What did Jesus always do? Everything according to the scriptures. So you and I need to do everything according to the scriptures. Not what we feel like, not what we think. Not even what some preacher says, if it's different than the book.
Amen.
Now watch this. Verse 5. And he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, and some have fallen asleep. And he was seen by James, and then by the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time.
Amen.
Now, what did Jesus do? He went around showing himself to all these people.
Yes, he did.
Blessed is he who has not seen and yet believes. So I call you blessed today.
Yes.
Why? Because you didn't see it. And I haven't seen it except by faith. But I know this. It happened. According to the scriptures. Now. Watch this. This book has been around a long time.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Other books have been around a long time. but not like this book.
That's right.
And somehow God, down through the ages, has purposely kept this book saying the same thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord.
It's an absolute miracle.
It is a miracle.
Amen.
That after 2,000 years, you can pick up this book and read the same thing that some of those epistles that were written,
yes,
same thing they were reading.
Glory to
Amen.
God.
Lord. All hell fought against it.
Lord.
Oh, yeah. And demon leaders and everything you can think of. In Germany, they destroyed Bible after Bible after Bible.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why? Because they followed a man.
Yeah.
And that man today's in hell.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Can I just say this as legally as I can? Nobody gets away with nothing. Not in this kingdom.
That's right.
Why? Because he's a righteous judge.
Amen.
And righteous always says you got to do what has to be done.
Yes.
So I stake my life for the rest of eternity on a few pages in a green book. And I say, praise God. He's risen. Let me see if I got any more scriptures I have got to read. Okay, Revelation chapter 1 is my last scriptures. Revelation chapter 1. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. I just feel this stirring up in my spirit.
Come on.
For the choices that lie ahead will be choices that will not bring dread. If you make the right choice, you will surely see the glory of the Lord being manifested upon thee. If you make the wrong choice, nothing much will happen, and even more doubt and unbelief will come. But if you make the right choice according to the scriptures, you will really have some fun. For I am going to demonstrate, I'm going to illuminate, I'm going to revelate in the days that lie ahead. So get ready for a new day of glory, don't you see? For the dark is passing away and the light is coming, and it's coming to thee. Hallelujah. 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 We receive that, Lord. Now, on the island of Patmos, John's been sent there by the Romans. And verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Now, let's think a minute. My friend Ed Dufresne, he's in heaven now. We'd go out to dinner, be in a crowded restaurant, and all of a sudden Ed would go, and he was gone. Off in the Spirit he'd go. He may prophesy, he may have a vision, but he learned how to step over into that realm and out of this realm. Because once you step over here, you've stepped into the realm of the King.
Yes.
Even though your body may stay in a natural realm, your spirit man goes into a supernatural realm. Okay, now watch what happens. I believe that's exactly what John did. I believe he stepped over into a supernatural realm, and this is what he's going to see. He heard a voice that sounded like a trumpet saying, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia, and he goes on to list the churches. 12. Then I turned to see the voice who spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now he's seeing something, folks, and we need to see it.
Amen.
If your church or any church does not have a lampstand, it's not a God church. I believe every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has a lampstand representing the King. Thank you for your wild response, but I believe it. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet like fine brass, as if it had been refined in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid, for I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. What was he? He was dead, but what's he doing now? He's alive. And behold, I am alive, watch, forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades or hell and death. He's got the keys, not the devil. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. And he goes on and talks about mysteries. Now, I read that because to me, Jesus is no longer a piece of hamburger meat. He's the resurrected Lord of glory. Eyes, flames of fire. Man, it gives me chills just when I say that. Feet like fine brass as they've been burned in a furnace. They had, because he went to hell. But he rose victorious. And he said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. Now watch this. If you're the beginning and the end, there's nobody more beginning than you are. And there's no, and when it's, if there ever is an end, which it won't be, there can't be any end because he's the end. So he is all in all.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So where is my faith today? My faith is in not a dead Jesus in a tomb, but a living Jesus seated at the right hand of God. Soon to come back and take us to glory. But in the meantime, by his stripes we are healed. In the meantime, he became poor, that through his poverty we can become rich. And on and on and on it goes. We ought to skip out of here this morning.
Amen.
We ought to dance out of here this morning. We ought to shout out of here this morning. Hallelujah. I serve a risen Savior. My dream is one day we're going to get back to singing some songs like, I serve a risen Savior. Going to sing some songs about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, friends, we used to joke. I read the back of the book and we went, but it's absolutely true. So I leave you with that today. God bless you. Amen.